I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
It's been 20 years, Jack.
Druid shit, yes, yes.
I gotta get to the top of this precipice.
$10 word there for you.
Vanished!
Everybody was oily.
Hey, not bad at all.
I'm sick of being stoned.
I like the cure in action, which is just getting brutally murdered.
Notably so well-lived.
Oh, he suicide-bombed himself, Doran.
This is awesome.
I thought it would be easier.
Bajir, me, oh.
So we need greater restoration, or Jack is dead forever.
Yep.
Mari, you have that, right?
Do I know it? Yes.
Continue.
Unless we use that spell.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 57, A Stone's Throw.
MVP this week is Jury, nominated by Lita Stray. Lita Stray says, Jury has been an early morning episode drop hype buddy alongside whom I frequently squawk my excitement / live blogging into the void. She's a real one and is a total MVP. Thanks, Lita. We totally agree.
Thanks, Lita, and congrats, Jury. All right, shall we do it?
Yeah, let's play some D&D.
Woo! All right, Alex, your turn for an intro. What do you got?
Mine was lame, but I'll say it anyways.
If it helps, we can workshop it as a group and make it better.
Sometimes the lame ones leave it open. Right?
Not to be selfish, but having gooder intros are better.
Sometimes the lame ones make more room for just general conversation around the subject. So
no.
So I was thinking, you know, I enjoy recording our Dice Fame sessions on Monday.
Oh, good.
But what is your favorite day of the week?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Fine. Let's do
Deep
this.
Well.
Let's fucking do this. You know what? Fuck it. Let's do it.
Oh,
at the
no.
bottom of the barrel. Welcome.
Oh, no.
Welcome. This is the bottom of the barrel.
At least it's not what's your favorite color.
We've reached it. There's nothing down here. It's empty.
Echo, echo, echo.
Harlan, what's your favorite day of the week?
Oh, man. My favorite day of the week. Great question, Alex. It's probably Friday.
Yeah?
Why not?
Okay. Why? Why is that?
Oh, shit. You know what? I'm going to. It's probably Thursday.
Oh.
Really?
Changing it.
Well,
okay.
Friday's a little too easy, so I'll mix it up a little bit.
Well, no. Maybe I was going to say Thursday.
Well, suck it. Thursday, I think, is probably my favorite day of the week.
Yeah? Why Thursday?
Why Thursday is a great question. Well, you know, it's close enough to the weekend, which is always fun.
Well, you know.
But, I mean, during the summertime, we have Henry every Thursday. And when we have him the weekend, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have him. So 4 days in a row. So it's basically like a long weekend during the summer, which is just my heaven when we have Henry for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, my hard work days are Monday and Wednesday, so Tuesdays and Thursdays to take care of Henry are a little bit more lax. So usually by Thursday, I've done all my work during the week, so it feels nice. And Thursday nights are usually nights where we game with friends, play video games, and chill out and chat.
Mm.
And I love playing video games with my friends, so it's like a little kickoff for the weekend and a little party in the week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. It makes yeah. sense. It makes sense, yeah. but yeah. yeah, it makes sense. It's good sense. Sense of it all. Anybody next?
Also, it sounds great. It just sounds great. Think about it. Monday,
Tuesday,
Wednesday, and then you got Thursday. Oh, you get that clean Thursday.
Your weekday tier list? Is that
okay? But yeah. Like, I've actually like sat down and like ranked the days of the week.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So like the case is Thursday is actually a better day than people give it, because like Friday there's so much pressure to have fun. Saturday is like
right.
there's just a lot happening. Sunday sure. is a terrible day, but I'm like Thursday is a good day. It gives me I'm appreciating the weekend will be here soon. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. I like Mondays more than Sundays.
Oh, I hard disagree. I think Sunday's the worst day.
Oh.
Wednesday and then Tuesday. Tuesday's
Sunday
the worst day.
Is like...
Oh, no.
Fucking...
The only good part of Tuesday is when we do Dice Shame. And then
Sunday
sucks
so much ass. Sunday is like a day that you put all your chores off to. It's the day... And like you're always working the next day anyway. So like the last few hours of Sunday are always shit anyway. You might as well be working because you're just thinking about work.
Yeah, but at least you could sleep in maybe on some Sundays, have a nice relaxed start to it, go have coffee, sit out back in the garden.
No,
or something.
You're hungover like you can... and constipated and everything sucks.
People call it Sunday fun day. Why is that?
Better than that work.
I don't know if I've ever had a fun day Sunday.
I always feel like it's like I hate Sunday evenings. Early Sunday is fine. The back half of Sunday can go straight to hell because I'm like thinking about the rest of my week, and it's like
but to me that's kind of my feeling. Like 12 on from 12 on Sunday is so bad that it ruins the before noon of Sunday for me, because it's like
I do like Sunday because F1 is on Sunday, so I get to wake up in the morning and drink my coffee while watching cars go vroom vroom.
So funny.
So
you're a F1.
Yes, nice.
I do love me some.
You're a F1 person.
You like F1?
Yes, this season's been so boring. Someone talk to me about F1. no one wants to talk to me about F1.
This engine just take drives off to the left and never seen again.
Bye, everyone.
What about you, Rob? What's your favorite and then I guess least favorite day?
I mean, for a long time, when I was like in high school-ish, it was Thursday because that was game day and that was a lot of fun. But I think like now I love a Saturday. I think either you've got nothing planned and you get a whole day to do whatever you want with it, to bum around the house or whatever, or you've got something in the schedule and you generally, you know, it's not happening first thing in the morning. So you get a nice slow start to the day, build up to go do a fun thing, have more fun than you expected. And then you don't have to do anything, you know, tomorrow you don't have to work. So you can still have the time to like recover or whatever. You know, like I think it just has that. It's the best day. I think S tier as days of the week.
It's pretty damn sweet. I think the only thing that turns Saturdays away from the best day for me is that there's always like a flip. Like, yeah, maybe three out of four a month are perfect, but then there's the one Saturday. Saturdays are also the days where you have to do a thing. Oh, you know, my sister-in-law's getting married.
Sure.
Or, you know, we got to move a furniture.
Yeah, lots
or,
of obligations do end up on a Saturday.
You know what I mean? So it's like a bit of a toss. It's like sometimes they're like the peak, but sometimes it's the day that you got to do the shit you don't want
to
do.
I have to move a furniture.
I have to visit my in-laws.
No, the best combo is the Friday night, Saturday morning. Because like, if you work just like a Monday 9 to 5 kind of thing, that's your time where you're like...
We're redefining it to now best 24 hours in a week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got the potential too. Friday night. And the cool thing about Friday night too is you're like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. I don't have to do it. I can be late drinking tonight on Friday because tomorrow is Saturday. It's not even Sunday.
Fuck it, we
ball. You know, not that bullshit day. I can chill out Saturday, be
okay, so
sober
I'll
by
give
night.
You Friday 3 o'clock to Saturday 3 o'clock is a
yeah.
pretty good
yeah,
day.
Primo.
That's the choice.
Because even Saturday night is a little too close to Sunday for me.
The fear's already setting in.
It's already like, no! He says without working a 9 to 5 and
I
not having to worry about it.
Friday is unquestionably the best day of the week for me.
Friday.
I was born on a Friday.
You were born on a Friday?
I was born on a Friday. Do you guys know the
I was just about to find
Monday's
out.
Child poem?
Monday's child no. is fair of face.
Yes.
Tuesday's child is full of grace.
Yes.
Wednesday's child is full of woe.
Yes.
Thursday's has far to go. And Friday's child...
Plays D&D.
Oh, no. It's the long one. And Friday's...
No.
Oh, is it?
No, because there's two more days after that.
Oh, right.
Friday's child is loving and giving.
Saturday's
child works hard for a living.
And Sunday is the blessed day who's bright and merry, something gay.
Bonnie and Blythe, good and gay.
I had gay right.
That's
there
right.
You there you are.
The important
hey,
thing is that
I
they're
knew,
homosexual.
I knew a fair amount of that.
You knew
that was
almost
huge.
All of it.
Way more than I had. I'm surprised. I'd never heard that before.
So that's always, I always thought. Well,
I was born on Tuesday.
I'm loving and giving.
I was also born on Tuesday.
Thursday, it turns out. I just had to go look
full
it up.
Full of woe.
No,
whoa.
You're full of grace. Tuesday.
I'm so fucking full of grace. Oh,
you're
my God.
So grace.
Grace.
You got grace
the blessing.
Grace. I just looked up a thing because I wanted to know what day of the week I was born on, and it was like, you were born on a Tuesday, but it says, a person born on this day, if they'd saved a nickel every day starting at age
oh,
5,
no.
then by now that person has accumulated $560.70.
No. Oh, that's
and
not
I'm like,
that much.
That's the saddest nonsense.
You sound like my dad. If you were saving a nickel every day, you'd be eating avocado toast.
From age 5? Why 5? Do my parents not think to put a nickel in the nickel jar when I was born?
Where are all these nickels coming from?
I'm a millennial? What? And a dragon.
But also, for all the reasons everyone said, work's done. You can put your feet up. Friday is the perfect day where, honestly, you've put in a full day's work, so you feel good about cutting loose.
Mm-hmm.
When I was still drinking beer, I would come home and have a shower beer, which is the best feeling ever.
Yeah. Love the shower beer.
And get ready to go hang out with your friends and like either go sit out on like someone's backyard or, you know, go like start your weekend,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. No, that's...
Plus everyone is on kind of the same wavelength. So when you're at work, everyone's like, oh, it's Friday. Happy Friday. Mm.
That's true.
That's a next week problem.
Mm-hmm. Office job Friday. Agreed. It's the best because no one gives a fuck on a Friday.
Something about a cold drink in a hot shower is really good. And actually, I read somewhere that eating an orange in the shower is supposed to give you a similar feeling, but that just kind of creeps
interesting.
Me out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's like pith everywhere.
I like
I don't
that.
Need that.
I'd be more into that than a beer.
Shower orange?
Maybe because a shower beer, you got to have like a place to set it. Otherwise, you're putting beer on the floor.
Well,
it's annoying.
Yeah, most showers have places.
We just hold
yeah,
it.
To
there
put
are
a
places,
shelf or something.
Showers,
also,
beer.
When you
shower beer bong.
When you eat an orange in the shower, you can be a messy boy.
That's
as
why
much
I like. I like pretending yeah. I'm a messy boy.
Ooh.
When I go in the shower, I role play. I'm like in prison and they're pouring water
he's
on me.
He's not
and...
joking. He really does.
Yeah.
I'm shifting the question over. If you got to eat one thing in the shower, what would it be? Because mine is a mango, a fruit that if you eat it just like whole, is so fucking messy. I would just be like, what? Harlan, you can't just be like, I'm going to eat that in that orange and like I'm in prison and then look at me weird when I'm like, I eat a mango.
No, I was thinking about how slippery it would be. I was thinking about how it would probably
peel. It's not a weird question, but it did bring back a really, like, not a traumatic memory, but I was interning right after high school, and I'm share it with my boss at the time. I'm sharing an office with him, and he starts telling me the story about this one time he was, I don't know where in the world he was overseas at, but it was like, yeah, I'd start every day naked and eating a mango and then go have a shower because it gets everywhere. It was just like,
wow,
dude, I don't know that I need this as part of our relationship.
That's the definition of oversharing.
It's a real intimate connection you're trying to make here. And
Jerry.
You know, I appreciate that, but I'm going to go take a sample to the lab and analyze it or something because I don't need to be here right now. I'm
like
good.
That show Naked and Afraid, but Naked and a Mango.
Naked and a Mango.
Rob, I'm so sorry to bring up the second incident of mango eating.
I've moved past it now. I've grown, but at the time I wasn't ready to.
But would you? So you'd peel the mango and go in and just like eat it like a corn on the cob type vibe.
What if you put the corn on the cob holders?
Oh, that'd be good.
Ooh.
I mean, but mango skin is some of the most tasty part of it.
You eat the mango skin?
Oh, yeah. You don't?
No.
It's good. It's got all the vitamins and flavor and shit.
I've been to Mango Skin Town. It's all right.
Are you...
I like it.
Pulling a funny?
It's not bad.
I feel like both Harlan and I were like, are you...
Really?
I prefer it.
You prefer it?
I would be willing to buy
that it's good, but I don't buy that you prefer it.
Because it adds a little bit more texture. It adds a little bit of varied texture. It adds a little bit of...
Hold on. You prefer it with flavor. The mango.
Yeah. You're not just...
You don't prefer it to the mango.
No. Okay. No. A bite of mango with the skin on is better than a bite of mango that's been removed from the skin.
You know what? I'll try it.
But not the skin by itself.
Well, that's what I thought you were saying. I was like, I don't buy that.
No, I wasn't saying like the mango skin is the better part. Throw the big, juicy, lovely fruit away. Fuck that. Just
reach, buy a mango and toss away.
I'm not a monster.
Pineapple rind is far better than the pineapple.
Yeah, you know.
Or picking that one.
Just let me in your green bin is all I'm trying to say.
I will try the mango with the skin. I don't think I ever have.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I would eat cotton candy in the shower just for the challenge.
Oh no. It would go so fast.
But you would just try to have a bite, you'd have to dodge the water
okay,
droplets.
But the minute I say mine, you're gonna change your answer.
What's it at?
A cone, an ice cream cone, like a full out frosted dipped chocolate ice cream cone.
I would just eat a frosted ice cream, like a chocolate dip cone, you're talking?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd eat that any day of the week.
No, but you'd get an extra one if you'd eat it in the shower.
You get an extra one?
Yeah, you get a bonus.
Then I'm eating it in the shower.
Fisting cones.
What's the argument?
Trying to eat it before the cone gets mushy?
Well, why would you rather eat cotton candy in the shower?
Because you're saying I could eat one and then go in the shower and get another one?
Yeah, but why would you eat cotton candy in the shower? Just to dissolve.
Just because it's fun.
But like a full spaghetti dinner. Like you have to have a table in there and a Caesar salad and garlic bread and the full
spaghetti. I want a tomahawk steak in the shower.
Soup. Bowl of soup.
It's endless. It's an unending bowl of
just
soup.
Just shower soup by the end of it.
It turns into broth and then water.
Look, I keep eating and it keeps filling
I want
up.
A handful of couscous in the shower.
I want a shower hot enough if I hold some rice in my palms, it'll be done cooking by the time I get out.
Boiling bag rice in the shower.
Let's turn this whole thing into an oatmeal bath. We're going to do it.
Fried chicken in the shower.
Oh, well.
Speaking of fried chicken in the shower, shall we take this segue over to D&D?
Let's do it.
Come along with me, everyone.
Get on the segue,
the show
trains.
Better open with everyone eating chicken.
Why is it buzzing?
Because of the segue.
All right.
Segue's buzz.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, let's play D&D.
Well, that went places.
See? Can leave it open.
Good one. Good one, Alex. Premium question. See, you got to leave it open. Red, you watch as the Thane, 40 feet above you, comes into view as she approaches this edge of the ledge, and she has another boulder in her hand. She growls at you.
All intruders will be destroyed. I will wipe you from the face of the earth, just like I will destroy all of the civilizations from where you are born.
And she throws a boulder at you. Oh, shit. 12 to hit.
Red deftly, nimbly barrel rolls out of the way.
Motherfucker.
And laughs.
So excited to crush you. Yeah, that's her turn.
And he gives her the middle finger. Suck on this.
Jack from within the stony confines of petrification. You can do nothing. Jack, do we have a brief insight into what's happening deep within the stony confines of your brain?
This familiar, cold nothing starts to, like, creep in inch by inch from shrinking the space in which his mind can operate. And so there's this crust on his skin, and it gets slowly smaller and smaller, pushing his mind until this little core of a space, that last living thing inside him before he's just rock.
On a failed save, the target becomes petrified, and the giant can adhere the target to its stony body. You haven't had that happen to you yet.
Got it.
Greater restoration spells and other magic that can undo petrification have no effect on a petrified creature on the giant unless the giant is dead, in which case the magic works normally, freeing the petrified creature.
So we need greater restoration or Jack is dead forever.
Yep.
Mari, you have that, right?
Do I know it? Yes.
Continue.
Unless we used that spell.
No, I haven't used that spell slot at all. So, but here's the other problem is that I have to be able to touch him to do it.
Yeah, you got to get in there.
You're going to have to take some damage.
Boy, am I.
It's going to be hero shit. Mari, you watch as this stone giant picks up Jack and turns him into stone. What do you do?
There's this horrible realization. She's already spoken about watching her friends die before. And there's this, like, deep dread that builds up within her. And she also knows that she could run because she is the furthest out and she could just start running. But she sees Jack turn to stone and she can't. She knows that she can't. She can't bring her friends back. She can't fix any of the mistakes she's made in the past, but she can help a new friend here. She steals herself and she runs out over towards Jack, trying to well up any last little bit of magic that she has within her to cast greater restoration.
All right. You get right up there.
And just lock eyes with this giant.
Mm-hmm.
And all she can do is just give, like, a tiny smile and a wave because she's so little and just, like, this, like, reedy little blue thing just underneath him. And she puts one hand on Jack and starts to untangle the threads of him that are all woven into the rock to bring him back.
Jack's eyes clear first and start moving around, and from there there's this, like, burn of magic as the stone crumbles and as the rest of his body emerges and there's a fire lit inside him. He's gonna fuck this guy up.
Hey buddy, how you doing?
I'm sick of being stone. Didn't last very long, I hope, but
it's been 20 years, Jack. Everyone you know is dead.
Yeah. We've waited so long.
Well, you did everything in your power, I'm sure.
The stone giant looks down at you, Mari, and then almost in confusion at this living pink creature in his hand, and bellows a roar of anger that shakes the very stones of Dead Stone Cleft. Top of the round, Red, what do you do?
All right. Red sees the lumbering thane just above him, about 40 feet on the cliff edge. And he also sees the other giant that just basically almost entirely destroyed Jack. And he realizes he's got to act. So I'm going to
run away.
Run away. And call it a day. And
goodbye. See you later.
Hey, that was my move.
I think B was looking for someone to join.
Swan dive into the mud below.
I am going to use my final magic arrow. I'm going to try to banish the giant that is abusing my friends, Mari and Jack.
And not the Thane. Interesting.
No, because banishment only lasts one round.
Yeah.
Like, sure, the Thane might be good, but at this point, I'm pretty confident, and Red maybe even says this, we gotta take out this Thane, Doran. He turns to Doran, who's maybe like 30 feet away. He's like, we need to focus her down.
Doran initially looks in the same direction that you're looking at the giant that's just appeared in front of Jack.
Yeah, I gotta get to the top of this precipice. Wow, that was a big word for me.
$10 word there for you.
Yeah. I gotta get to the top of this this hill. And I gotta face that Thane head on.
I'm gonna try to use a banishing arrow.
You can try.
Yeah, so He's going to have to make a charisma saving throw.
All right.
Can I offer some help?
Oh, shit. So you can't.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Mari has Wheel and Woe, which...
Oh, druid
hey.
Shit.
Huh?
Druid shit. Yes, yes. And it's Woe this time.
Whoa.
I can't not do it.
Whoa.
That's the best. That's
Blossom.
The best part.
Cool. How does that work again?
Mechanically, I get to roll a d6, and then that will work against your saving throw.
Whatever, nice.
Whatever number I roll, that you get to take that off your saving throw.
Sick.
Fuck yeah.
And you're like right up against this guy. So in range.
Boy, yeah, it's 30. I would like to say that I am definitely within 30 feet of this guy. By which I mean, she can probably smell like the back of his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he's so close.
Smells
he's
like terrible.
Why of all the places?
Knees.
Well, he's like 20 feet tall.
It smells like an armpit, though.
Yeah, but like his feet are right below you. You got, but the back of the knee.
Well, that's
it's so evocative.
Yeah.
Ew.
Why don't you roll your d6 first?
All right. Come on, baby. 5.
Whoa!
Oh, that's good.
Hey, not bad at all.
Yes.
That leaves a total of 11.
Oh!
Sweet. Not bad at all.
Banished! That stone giant
goodbye.
Just whoops out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
A banished.
Right before he goes, Mari like looks up at him, and she can see red like in the dim light, like readying an arrow and like prepping for that, and can hear Doran using his word a day calendar to sound smarter.
Precipice.
And she looks up at the giant, and this like deep navy light sort of appears behind her head, and she's like, "What do you dream about at night?"
Ooh.
And the stars normally would be like little shimmering stars. They're all like black behind her.
And then Red fires an arrow at him and he vanishes. Whoop.
Neat.
Pursue.
Hell yeah! Now's our chance! Let's take out the Thane! And Red snaps his neck up and fires at the Thane.
Do it.
I picture you like holding your bow out and shooting your magic arrow. And then without even bringing your bow down, you just correct your aim. And your arm just goes straight up.
Red casts Hunter's Mark on the Thane. Eyes her down and fires... 16 to hit. Sorry, 17 to hit. I always do that.
Why do you add the one?
Because I get an additional for giants. I always forget that I'm fighting giants.
You're just doing math bad.
Yeah. I do math bad.
17 hits.
Nice.
It's kind of my thing.
17 misses. I mean 18. 18 misses. 17. I mean 19.
Wham!
What am I saying?
It smacks into the stone giant. Has she been damaged yet?
She has been.
She has been.
Mm-hmm. Was it Skreven?
Nice. She has been.
29 damage.
Boom.
Nice.
Red, as your arrow sails up and hits the Thane in the shoulder, you see her stony skin crack. And then with an echoing crack, one of the statues behind her takes a similar wound and a big chunk falls off of it and it turns to dust and crumbles.
Okay.
I hurt her, and she hurt the stones behind her. This might take a while.
What happens to the wound on the Thane? Does it, like, stay looking like a wound, or does it look...
It looks like she's taken some damage, okay. But maybe not as much as she would normally have.
Woof. Talk about stone skin.
I was just curious if it was, like, taking the damage from... And, like, her wound healed or something.
Mm.
Okay, good.
And then Red, for his movement, will run over to Doran, and he'll even, like, kind of open his bag of holding. Be like, grab the climbing potion from inside. You're going to need it. And then on Skreven's turn, Skreven is going to scree towards the stone giant, Thane.
Scree.
It's a verb.
He's going to attack.
It is now.
Because he's like this.
Scree.
Were they prone?
Oh, yeah, it was the prone giant.
Oh, yeah, everybody was prone. Everybody was oily.
Stone giant?
Everyone is prone.
More like prone giant.
Prone.
It's the way we like them.
I didn't pull that out last time we recorded a show.
That would have been, I would have loved that, though, is like you have the stone giants and the fire giants and the ice giants and the prone giants. They're just on the ground. It is just like,
that's
it's
creepy,
like a slapstick
crawling
thing.
Around.
Are lazy.
And then you get the pone giants, and they're just a bunch of gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad we didn't really mess up that one that fell, because then we could have said that we boned the prone stone.
Ah.
We can so still say that.
Nothing's stopping you. It's a free
cut
country.
Cut it in later.
15 to hit.
No, you miss.
Ah, Screven squeeze by angrily.
Yeah, she swipes this giant great club at Screven as he passes.
Try it. Screven is invincible.
Screven has flyby, right? So she doesn't get attack of opportunity.
She does, but I think I'm going to have her annoy in a way. Because if Screven can take the hit and pull a Kieran and just one die, as much as it's a wasted spell, it's going to save us all the damage. So Screven is just going to kind of harass a little bit.
Saving an action is huge.
Cool.
Having Screven try and eat up an action is huge. It's
I know. I wish Kieran would do it more.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe, for making the bad guys eat up the Kieran action.
Notably so well-lived and never gets touched.
You need to get him barding.
I like the Kieran action, which is just getting brutally murdered.
Yeah, but the thing is, Joe hunts it down. Rob never throws Kieran as a distraction. Joe, like, fucking hunts it down.
Out of her way to kick a puppy.
It's not like
you would be hard pressed to know that I used to be a vegan.
So yeah, Screven hangs out there and just harasses the Thane's head, like kind of like flaps around it, pecks at a little bit, just kind of annoys it.
Awesome. All right, Doran, your turn.
Doran is standing there, reaching into this bag of holding that Red is holding open for him. And he's kind of holding it open and screaming over his shoulder at this bird to, like, attack. And it's all very busy at the moment. And Doran's kind of rooting around in the bottom of this bag of holding, and then he sees it. He pulls out this potion of rock climbing, and I imagine it's shimmering. It's got, like, it looks like rock walls or something. And he just chugs it back. He throws it back.
Actually, they describe what it looks like, and it sounds really cool. It's brown, silver, and gray that resembles bands of stone.
Ooh.
That's exactly how I pictured it. Maybe you read it before, but that's really weird because I was kind of imagining
it. Reminds
this.
Me of like Tiger's Eye.
Yeah, very much yes. So. And even shaking it fails to mix the colors.
Mm. So the question that I have is, does this mean I can climb at full speed, or is it only half speed I can still climb?
It's equal to your walking speed for an hour, basically.
Oh, okay. For an hour. Okay, great. So,
and you have advantage on strength athletic checks that make you climb.
So yes, Doran is going to ascend this wall with great ease. Now, it's important that, as the DM, you hear me out here. I stay like...
I said ease.
I stay with, like, outside of what Doran would feel is the normal range for a giant to grab me off the wall. He might be able to throw things down, but, like, I don't want him to be able to reach me at this point. So on my next turn, I'm going to move into attacking range from him. So I am...
Ah, okay.
I guess I'm farther than... What is their reach? 15 feet?
15 feet.
Okay, so I'm further than 15 feet down the wall.
Great.
Does that make sense? Cool.
Yeah, smart move, Doran.
Oh. You get about 20 feet up the wall.
This is awesome, and it... I feel like Doran's climbing, like you see the actors on a blue screen that are getting hoisted up, and they're like,
yeah. He's like, looks very authentic.
He's just moving his arms,
like the way like vampires do.
Yeah.
You're Toni Collette in the ceiling in Hereditary, just scampering around in the silence.
Either that or perfect. Like the old Batman, and he's just walking up the wall.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end of
my
turn.
The way this potion works. It doesn't actually help you climb. It just rotates the entire world onto its side so that you're walking up just for you.
90 degrees.
It's very weird physics.
Listen, it's magic. You can change the frame of reference.
Okay, I'm good.
All right. It's the Thane's turn. She is going to do something that you all are going to hate.
Ah.
Oh. God damn it.
She points at the fossilized stone giant that is standing on the opposite side of the bridge as Mari and Jack, and fissures appear in its stony skin. Big hunks of rock fall away from its face and its torso, and this statue essentially busts out of a stony carapace and takes some thunderous steps forward. Sorry.
Don't okay. Be. Don't be. That's the game. Destroy us.
I haven't even made it a year.
Hey, you know what? We banish the guy. That's a big plus. Get some distance on this and we're good.
What happens if they move somewhere and the other giant comes back to that same spot?
It's such a great question that Harlan will have to tell me.
It moves to the next available square.
They
no, I prefer the idea that it like VoIPs inside of them.
Yeah.
And it creates just like this horrible Cronenbergian thing.
Rah, rah, we're stuck together, rah, rah.
Yeah, it just turns into like a...
Bajir, me, no.
This stone golem, let's call it what it is here, folks, heavily walks over to Jack Page, favorite wizard.
Yeah, lying on the ground still.
Lying on the ground? Even better. Are you prone?
Well, yeah, I haven't had a chance to act. I've been stone, I missed my turn, you made me back, and now I'm going to get stomped.
Oh, that's a good point.
So what you're saying is you're just stone and lying there?
Oh, that's a good point. The giant was holding Jack, so technically Jack is banished too. So Jack is now banished to...
I was like, wait a second.
18 to hit you, Jack?
Yeah, it does. No, I'm going to upcast the shield and use a second level spell. It misses me.
Rock and roll.
Excellent.
Here comes the second slam. So
oh, no.
He like slams down this big stony fist and you just...
There's wild power pouring out of Jack's eyes as he's coming back from stone and just right pissed off and losing control a little bit. And that foot stops inches from his face.
I love it. The next one's going to take you though with a 26.
Yeah, it does.
Damn it.
Not bad. That's only 14 bludgeoning damage.
I've suffered worse squishes.
Baby stuff.
Yeah, I maybe try to roll out of the way and it stomps on my arm or something as I'm trying to squeeze out of its grasp.
Sounds great.
I always find the funniest thing about doing like turn-based combat is that in like when I mentally picture it, I just imagine like this happening and Mari's just standing there with her hands in her pockets just waiting for to get kicked in the teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, good one, Jack.
Good roll. Good shield.
Okay. I think I'll keep climbing in a second. Oh, Mari, you're first.
No, you first. And then the stone giant phases back into existence at the end of its turn. Jack, you're up.
Jack, lying on the ground, squished by a stone golem, reaches over and grabs Mari's hand, and we explode.
Knew you were going to do this. Brilliant.
Both dead.
Yeah, I thought it would be easier.
He suicide bombed himself, going.
Oh, that's
well. Time for new wizards.
I mean, I just didn't think he'd take Mari with him. I mean, come on.
That's so rude.
Can they both make me a constitution saving throw?
100%. Ooh, Golem, our statue friend got a natural 20.
I don't love that one bit.
Man.
But so they take 14 on a fail and 7 on a pass thunder damage.
And only a 14 for the stone giant.
14 damage on a fail and 7 on a save. Yeah, so there's a big whoosh of thunder as Mari and Jack disappear from the space we're in, and it cavitates and the air rushes in, cracking around these things, chipping stone off and bashing that golem, and we reappear up on top of the precipice staring down Kaelithica.
Amazing.
Nice.
You thunder step up onto the platform where the Thane stands waiting for you. She casts an intimidating figure over 20 feet tall, gripping her adamantine great club and staring you down. Intruders. An expression of vile hatred painting her face like a mask.
Oh, Jack, you could have brought us somewhere a lot nicer than this.
Once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S., Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the left, Leader J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C, Reagan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House. Woo!
I want to see how fucked I am.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.